Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four delightful and talented people who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome Derek Nimmo, Tim Rice, Clement Freud, and Emma Freud. Will you please welcome all four of them? We have there three who have played the game a number of times before, and Emma Freud playing it for the first time. And sitting beside me is Anne Ling, and she blows the whistle when the 60 seconds are up. She also has a stopwatch in her other hand to tell me how many seconds are going during each round. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four panellists if they'll speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we're going to begin the show this week with Clement Freud, and the subject, Clement, is odds. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
If you had a gold doubloon and you tossed it into the air and it came down heads 429 times running, the odds against it doing that for the 430th time would be exactly the same, evens. Because there is a law of averages and there's another of probability. That's really all I have to say about it.
And it was interesting. You may have noticed that he hesitated after he'd repeated the word 400, but nobody challenged, which is very generous of them. What was your challenge, Derek?
Well, it just sort of stopped, didn't it? Really?
Hesitation.
The odds seemed to be against him, I thought.
So, Derek, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, and you take over the subject of odds, and there are 33 seconds left, starting
now. Odds are the ratio by the bet staked by one party exceed those of another. You can do it more easily by computer these days. That's why I like to bet on a quinella or a quadrella, or trifecta is very good as well.
Emma Freud's challenge.
He's making these words up.
I'm not a great horse racing person, but I don't think he is. Oh. In fact, Clement Freud, he would know. Clement, would you like to judge on this one? I know you go.
I think Emma's right.
Oh, there we are. Well, I would never come between family. So therefore, in this situation, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to Emma Freud
and say that.
Why not? She's the first time on the show. Let her have a little chance. All right, Emma, you have 17 seconds to talk on odds, starting now.
Having been brought up amongst gamblers and going to racecourses an awful lot during my youth, the thing that's always amazed me about odds and betting are the tic-tac men you get on the racecourse. These particular gentlemen of the field wave their hands around in an extraordinary manner.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point. On this occasion was Emma Freud. So, Emma, you're in the lead at the end of the first round of the first time on Just a Minute. So, well done. Tim Rice, will you take the next round? The subject, wastes. And there are 60 seconds, as always, starting now.
I certainly will. Where there's muck, there's brass. This is a phrase which is extremely true. Over and again, I have had this brought home to me because every person you know who has set out his stall to make a career or a living, or both, in muck has made a...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Muck twice.
Yes, where there's muck, there's brass. Where there's brass, there's muck, and where there's brass. 42 seconds for you, Clement, with a correct challenge. To take over wastes, starting now.
I have a waste which weighs...
To stop there.
So, Clement Freud is the only person who can weigh his waist. But, Tim, you challenged.
Well, yes.
What was your challenge?
Hesitation.
You have 39 seconds on waists, starting now.
I'm delighted to get back to the core of this subject after that brief interruption.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation from waist.
Clement is right. You hadn't got to the core of the subject previously, so you couldn't actually get back to it. And that was his challenge, which is quite clever, so we must give him the benefit of the doubt there and say he has 35 seconds on the subject of wastes starting now.
My waste measures...
Very limo challenge.
Well, it's just a sort of nonsense, a hesitation, deviation, everything. Throw the book at him. Throw the book at him.
We give it to you, Derek. 33 seconds on wastes starting now.
Travelling through the wasteland of New Zealand, I chanced upon Christchurch, and I find that city particular because amongst all the waste there in the city square is a
Tim
wizard.
Rice challenge.
Two cities.
Two cities.
Tale of two cities, that's what I'm talking about.
Tim, you have wastes, and there are 23 seconds left starting now.
Waste product means loot. You cannot go wrong if you invest your life savings and your ambition, your drive, everything that you have, every...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Well,
yes.
He didn't he?
13 seconds, Derek, on wastes starting now.
I used to have a very slim waist, but unfortunately the ravages of time have taken toll upon it, and it now exists at some 36 inches. I'm terribly sorry about it, and I'm going to do...
Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's in the lead, and Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, cats. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
There are so many things called cats. I will seize immediately upon Cat of Nine Tails. This was a particularly devilish whip with the same number that I've just mentioned of long bits of leather attached to it. One for the Trinity and multiplied by three to...
Emma Freud is challenged.
It sort of went a bit, you know, hesitant.
What do you mean, child? I've held her on my knee. How dare she?
Just before the show.
And you were certainly very hesitant then, I can tell you, Derek. Yeah. I'm going to give Emma the benefit of the doubt because she hasn't played the game before and say that she has 46 seconds to talk on cats starting now.
Cats are my favourite animal. One of the most exciting moments of my entire life was when my small cat, Molly, climbed onto my knee and gave birth to 7 kittens.
Tim Rice challenge.
It was a very moving story, but it ground to a halt.
Yeah, it ground. Well, it was, yeah. She was so overcome with the memory of those 7 kittens in her lap that she couldn't continue. So, Tim, you have a correct challenge. 36 seconds. Tell us about cats starting now.
I have a cat which has one extremely damaged leg.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation, we're talking about cats.
Well, he can still start off by saying he has one cat that's got...
I was going to go on to this, this cat's chum.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tell us about your other cats.
Thirty-two seconds, Tim, on cats starting now.
Also, 2 dilapidated ears, very poor eyesight, and a sawn-off tail. It's called Lucky. Its friend, however, is infinitely more healthy. This feline fiend leaps around my house with gay abandon. In fact, I'm rather worried about some of the company it keeps. But I am assured by my vet that it is a totally normal, butch, macho cat, and I need not worry. His name is Brian.
Emma Freud challenge.
2 worries.
That's right, there were. You were worried before
that.
And you were worried again, Tim, and not without reason. 5 seconds to go for you, Emma, having got in on the subject of cats, starting now.
After the 3rd small cat that was given birth to...
Derek, who's had you on his knees, got you again.
Rat.
Yes, well, hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, Derek. Mean. 2 seconds to go, starting now.
I have 3 cats. One's called Quinella, the other one's called Quadrella.
So Derek got in before the whistle and kept going and gained an extra point for doing so. He's increased his lead. He's just ahead of Tim Rice and Emma Freud. And Clement Freud, for once, is trailing. Emma, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is larks. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Larks are japes that the 4 Marys get up to in the comic Bunty, which I'm ashamed to say I still have delivered to my front door every Saturday morning and have had since I was about 7 years old. This particular story, which I have to say is my favourite, contains...
Tim Rice challenged.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid
it's
so,
it's very
yes.
difficult.
It is very difficult, yes, and they're not giving you any chance, are they?
You just paid attention to your father for the last 23 years. You know how to play the game.
Tim, you have 44 seconds to tell us something about larks, starting now.
The sound of the meadowlark is not the same as that of the skylark. The former goes...
Clement, you challenged. What
repetition.
Is
repetition.
Of what?
What
the
of? First and the fourth note.
To a lark, they mean very different things.
I wanted you to tell us what the tell us what the repetition was. So, Clement, yes, I agree with your challenge. 37 seconds on larks, starting now.
During the war, the ladies' agricultural ration card selectors were known as the larks, and it used to be said, up with the lark and to bed with a wren. This...
And Tim Rice challenged.
Well, unless he was waiting for even more applause than he got. That was a definite hesitation.
It was a definite hesitation, yes. He was waiting for a bigger laugh, but... he got a shocked reaction because we have a very nice audience here and they weren't alive during the war. They didn't know what he was talking about, half of them. The 21 seconds are left for you, Tim, on larks, starting now.
The kind of lark that is found in fields lays 4 to 5 eggs at one sitting. Not every time it squats, I must admit, but every...
Derek Nemo got in, yes.
To Every's.
Every, yes. You were you said Every last time.
I'm
yes.
an Every. I've got yes. an Every problem.
You've got an Every. 13 seconds for you, Derek, on lark, starting now.
I once recorded a disc, and the name of the tune was, Wouldn't It Be a Lark to Be a Statue in the Park? It didn't sell many copies. People didn't seem to be tremendously interested. What's the matter now? Who's pay? Who's was that you?
Emma Freud is challenged.
What are you, why are you doing this to me all the time?
I would like to hear you sing it.
You wouldn't. That you wouldn't. It's also about, wouldn't it be
it is obvious that the audience would like you to hear sing it too.
The bees begin to fall, I think. It was a terrible song.
The audience would like to hear you sing it too, Derek.
Well, I've just done it. That was it. That's what part of the scene.
I might tell you that we had a visitor...
I don't have to audition on this break. I'm here to play a game, not audition for Emma Freud.
Emma, you got in the challenge with 1 second ago. What was it?
That was it.
That was it?
Yes.
I don't know what it was. You didn't say.
It was that I wanted to hear him sing.
Oh, I see. Well, that's not a legitimate challenge, is it, really? So, unfortunately, Derek gets another point. You should have said hesitation, and I'd have given it to you. Derek, you have another Tim.
Hesitation.
Too late. Derek, you have 1 second on larks, starting now.
The Australian expression larrikin comes from larking about.
So at the end of that round, Derek Nemo has increased his lead, and Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, ghost writing. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Ghostwriting is when somebody who is not the actual author writes a volume in the name of another person who is probably illiterate or in any case unable to do as well as would the ghostwriter. And cricketers, footballers, baseball players, American basketball practitioners, many other sportsmen and quite particularly actors and singers who are not too good at putting
Tim
one
Rice
word
has
in.
Challenged.
Actors and singers aren't sportsmen.
I know they're not, but he's talking about the people who have books said, ghosted for them.
Didn't he say many other sportsmen, particularly actors and singers?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I was totally wrong.
So, Clement, I disagree with the challenge, and you have 34 seconds to continue on ghost writing, starting now.
Every now and again, you get particularly incapable and uneducated.
Derek Nemo challenged.
Well, he sort of stopped again, didn't he?
No, he didn't stop. He hesitated.
Well,
Flow interrupted, and he's sometimes able to get going again. There are 29 seconds for you, Derek, on ghost writing, starting now.
One of the best ghost writers I know was Charles Dickens in A Christmas Carol. The spirit of Christmas past.
Tim Rice challenged.
Two Christmases.
Christmas Carol, oh, Christmas
past. Yes, absolutely right. Well, listen, jolly good, yes.
Tim, Jim, you have 22 seconds on ghostwriting starting now.
When I was a lad, one of the biggest thrills I ever got was back in 1951. I was given a copy of the Dennis Compton Annual for Boys. I assumed that our hero, DCSC, wrote every single word of this tome, but no, his brother Leslie wrote some of it, and I am
Clement Freud challenged.
I don't believe it. I mean, of those two, Leslie was even less capable of writing than...
Before we denigrate these two great sportsmen...
great authors.
Great authors. Did Leslie write something?
It said so on the book. I was about to get to the point that I was very upset when anybody suggested that he might not have written it. I believe that both Leslie and Dennis wrote every word.
Right. So, you have 3 seconds to continue on ghostwriting starting now.
PBH May, on the other hand, hardly ever got to grip...
Well, at the end of that round, Tim Rice was speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point. He's moved forward. He's in second place, so one behind Derek Nimmo, our leader, and then come Clement Freud and Emma Freud equal. Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. Derek, now, the things I dread, starting now.
One of the things that I dread is the thought of putting my hand down a wastemaster by mistake and switching it on and having this whole extremity crunched and flushed down into the drains beneath. Another thing that I dread greatly is going to the betting shop and saying, could I have a quadrilla? And the man saying, there is no such word. I said, then, can I have £5,000 on a quinella? What?
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation, there's no such word as quadrilla.
There is. Are the people here from Melbourne? Is there a quadrilla? Thank you very much.
There are.
You can't go in a betting shop.
Derek Nimmo, you have the benefit of the doubt with 36 seconds on things I dread starting now.
Sometimes I dread a great deal the possibility that I will not be able to sleep through the night. I might have to take a pill, but if I am lying there tossing and turning and seeing the faint crack of dawn coming through the windows, I know that my hours of rest have disappeared and that throughout the day...
Tim Rice has challenged.
What's the matter now?
It's deviation. It's not hours of rest because he's just been saying he's in torment.
They've disappeared. I just said they've disappeared.
No, but dawn has now arrived.
Tim, I can't agree with the challenge, unfortunately, so 16 seconds for Derek still to go on his dreary way with... with things I dread starting now.
One of the things I would really dread is to get a Nicholas Parsons daughter's wedding because I know...
As I didn't hear what you said, I don't know why the audience are clapping. Clement, what was your challenge?
He really dreaded before.
That's right, he dreaded
really,
before, yes.
Really dread.
Anyway,
well, isn't that the subject?
Really dread.
Things I dread was the subject. Yes, one of the things I really dread. So, Clement, you got in with 13 seconds on things I dread, starting now.
What I dread is Tim Rice talking about when he was a lad in 1951. In getting the DCS Compton Cricket Annual, about which PBH May wrote so very glowingly, and Leslie...
So, Emma, as the first time on the show, you do see how sometimes you can very cleverly use material other people have used in other rounds and recycle it all again.
Gosh, thanks, Nick.
I know. And that's the only reason we asked her on the show, so she'd speak to me like that. So, what is the situation end of that round? Derek Nimmo still in the lead, and then comes Tim Rice, and then Clement Freud, and then Emma Freud, and Emma, your turn to begin. The subject, relations. Thought-up subject by Ian Messiter, but will you talk on it starting now?
One of my favourite quotes of all time was when an interviewer said to my father, tell me about your other grandfather, and my father replied, he was the father of psychology.
Daring Nimmo challenge.
Well, as then, she stopped, didn't she?
I know she did. She didn't get the reaction she expected.
Very nice, though.
The end
very
of
nice.
The quote.
Beautifully said.
I know, we just stopped.
But you have to keep going shame, just a minute, shame, unfortunately, right. Emma. It's one of the rules. So Derek got in there with 50 seconds left on relations, Derek, starting now.
Well, Emma Freud has a particularly charming mother, Jill, who is one of the most lovely women that I've ever met, and I can never understand why she'd married that awful man. He was so terribly pompous. She wasn't to know at the beginning that he was going to get a knighthood, was she? No. She just knew she'd have to suffer his conversation, that going all about yelling, weak up. For centuries, it must seem. But the fruit of their loins, or her loins, I suppose, is the lovely Emma, which is glorious and wondrous and what?
Tim Rice, yes. Challenge when you mentioned the loins.
Yes, there were two loins.
I didn't hear two loins, were there?
Well,
there was such a lot of noise in the audience.
No, there were definitely two loins.
All right, well, if you say so. I mean, whether, I'll have to put it to the audience. I didn't hear it. Were there two loins? Thank you very much, audience. That's why we ask you here.
Thanks,
no other reason at all. Tim, you've got two loins. I'm sorry, you've got the... You have a correct challenge with two loins and 17 seconds to tell us something about relations starting now.
My great-grandmother was a remarkable woman. She was a dynamic character in every sense of the word. But I do not wish to detain you long about her, because far more interesting is my third cousin once removed.
Emma Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Deviation from what?
The subject. All right, repetition.
I think that's an extraordinary good challenge. Oh, Emma, definitely, yes, you have the benefit there. 5 seconds on relations starting now.
I would like to point out the only reason Derek Nimmer was saying those things is because my mother's sitting on the front row and he's a creep.
So Emma Freud cleverly got in just before the whistle went and gained that extra point, but speaking as the whistle went, and she's still in fourth place. And out in the lead still is Derek Nimmo. Clement Freud, I think it's going to be the last round. Unfortunately, I haven't got much more time, but will you take it, because it's your turn, and the subject is after-dinner speakers. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Your Majesty, Royal Highness, Lord Mayor,
Tim Rice, a challenge.
Well, it was pomposity coupled with a bit of hesitation.
What do you want? What is your challenge?
Well, I think hesitation.
Yes, you didn't even get to the gag line, which is not forgetting the bride's mother. You've spoiled it.
I'm here to win, Nimmo.
Pomposity you're allowed, especially when you're demonstrating, but hesitation you're not, and I agree that he hesitated between each one, and so there are 53 seconds for you.
You can't really bring Her Majesty and the Lord Mayor very close together.
In a speech, you
considered
can.
Considered improper.
In a speech, maybe not in real life, but in a speech you can, and in just a minute you have to, otherwise it's hesitation. So, Tim, you have after-dinner speakers and 53 seconds, starting now.
I've got two sets of speakers at home. One are very big and boomy, the other tiny, and one is used for before dinner and the other for after the same meal. It is a very successful home entertainment format, because before, and I wish somebody would stop me.
Derek Nimmo helped you out. You challenged Derek, but I must hear your challenge.
A repeat of before.
Right. 39 seconds for you, Derek, to tell us something about after-dinner speakers, starting now.
That brilliant man, Sir Clement Freud, is quite the best after-dinner speaker that I've ever heard. And his wife is hugely lucky to be married to a man of that degree of talent. He gave particularly good advice to after-dinner speakers when he said, if you have something of pith and moment to deliver, a line of people who are intoxicated and absolutely witless are not necessarily the best people to talk. But if you have nothing to say at all, they might be your very audience. He is such a distinguished man. Last year, at the
Rice's
Benedictine
challenge.
Award...
There was two peoples.
Yeah, there were. We talk about the peoples too much, I'm afraid.
Which peoples? When was this peoples thing? Well, peoples.
Well, I let you go on a bit because I wanted to see peoples. If it would get less nauseating. It didn't, so I'm hauling you up on a repetition of people.
Tim, you have after-dinner speakers, and you have 10 seconds left, starting now.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that I begin every speech I make, and there are many of them, with those time-honoured and infallibly successful...
So, Tim Rice was then speaking as the whistle went and he gained that extra point. And it now remains for me to give you the final score because that was, alas, the last round. Emma Freud, who has not played the game before, came along with great style, great charm, flirted with us all and did extraordinary well, and we'd love to have you on the show. Yes, Emma? Hmm?
Unfair.
Was it?
I didn't.
Oh, well, then I'm disappointed. I thought you were. What a pity. There we are. You did very well, Emma, but I'm afraid you finished in fourth place. You were only a little way behind your father, who came in third place. This week, our joint winners are Tim Rice and Derek Nimmo. You have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and it only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four excellent panellists, Tim Rice, Clement Freud, Eric Nimmo and Emma Freud, and also Anne Ling, who's been keeping the score and blowing the whistle, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thanks for tuning in, thank our audience for attending in the studio, and we hope that you'll be with us on the air next time that we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.